Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm your new host, Tim Wildman. I'm back after what seems like a two-year hiatus. It was actually a 10 days or so. We are back with the team here and ready to go for 2020. Big year, election year, coming up in November, and that's a lot of what we'll be talking about. Looking forward to that here on the show and on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman again with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And a happy new year to you, Ed, and to Fred Jackson.
Absolutely. Well,
thank you. Mm-hmm. Our news director for American Family Radio on OneNewsNow.com. And also,
I got to say, the first 6 days have gone pretty well of 2020.
And how so, Ed?
6 days.
6 days?
Yeah. I'll tell you how good it's gone. You asked, and so I just now thought, my wife picked up a bag of my favorite Cantina tortilla chips. I'm going to tell you the name of it.
Okay.
On the Border.
Okay.
Great tortilla chips. She picked them up on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And by last night, I had finished the entire bag by myself.
Saturday, Sunday.
And this morning, I had lost a pound.
Oh, wow.
No, yes. So you're saying the more you actually have the anti-Atkins diet.
I told her, I said, I have got this figured out.
The more
one bag of chips a day, and I will lose weight.
The more carbs you eat, the more weight you lose.
First 6 days of 2020, I got no complaints.
Slimming down over there. All right. Well,
she rolled her eyes, by the way, for those of you who
not buying
care.
It.
Nope.
So. Yeah, you might want to check back on those scales in a couple of days. if this trend of a bag of chips every 2 days continues, I don't know if you're going to continue to lose weight.
No.
All right, so we hope everybody had a wonderful Christmas and New Year's celebration. And as I said this morning to our staff, you know, it's back to the routine of life now for most of us, unless you're retired. And that in of itself is probably a routine, right? But we start the year with some big news internationally, right? Fred, what happened last Friday?
Yeah, President may have been on Christmas vacation down in Florida, but he was busy. And what we're still seeing is the big story that broke early last Friday morning. And that was the president's order to take out the Iranian general and terrorist leader. Let's identify him as what he was, terrorist leader.
Universally recognized as such by countries all over the world, I might say.
That's right. That's right.
So that's not in dispute.
No. Nobody, even the president's political enemies, disputes the fact that this guy, Soleimani, killed over 600 American soldiers, disabled many more, tortured his own people in Iran.
Yeah.
And according to President Trump, he was taken out last Friday morning, shortly after he landed in Baghdad, because he was planning more attacks against the United States.
Yeah.
That's what the president said.
And he was behind the quote-unquote protest at the American Embassy in Baghdad. And it was torched.
Yes.
Let's explain this to folks who, if they're like me, I'd never heard of this guy's name before he was assassinated. He wasn't assassinated. He was killed. He was assassinated, but it wasn't a political assassination of a president of a country. This was a leader of a terrorist organization.
Yes.
That happened to be a general in the Iranian army. Now, but I think we need to explain to folks, Fred and Ed, chime in here too, who this guy really was, because you're not gonna get that a lot from the American or the Western media right now, because they hate President Trump so much, they're going to downplay this if they talk about it much at all. Or they're going to talk about what might happen now that Trump has done this. That's what they want to talk about now, which will be bad for the U.S., is what they want to say. By they, I mean the mainstream press who has Trump derangement syndrome. Now, because, okay, this fella, what was his name?
How do you pronounce it? Qasem Soleimani.
Right.
Okay, Ed, why don't you go ahead. Describe who he was and why this is so significant.
Well, and let me point out, too, that that in terms of drone strikes, President Obama, in his 8 years, compared to President Bush, 10 times the number of drone strikes, okay? So the criticism against President—
Compared to Bush or Trump?
Compared to Bush. So we're just talking—
Well, I just wonder how much drones were available during the Bush era. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So what we're pointing out here is that Obama used— In fact, he was criticized by many on the left because of his drone strikes. But Soleimani is head of the Iranian Republican Guard's elite force called the Quds Force. I guess they're kind of like the special forces of Iran. But he is well known internationally as the mastermind. Some people have called him the godfather of the terrorist activities of Iran around the world. So this is a mastermind. In fact, some of the foreign policy experts have noted that with the exception of bin Laden, this is the most significant get in the war on terror ever.
Well, and some, General Petraeus being one of them, former leader of the CIA, anyway, he said it's more significant than bin Laden, but at least as.
Yes. So this is a man who has tortured his Iranian dissidents, quote unquote, and was the mastermind of the IED weapons program that terrorists used against the U.S. forces in Iraq. So these explosive devices.
He's fomented, his leadership has fomented terrorist activity around the Middle East.
Yes.
So in Syria and in Lebanon.
Yes.
And the proxies of the Iranian terrorist network.
Hezbollah.
Iran, people, it's easily misunderstood because people think of terrorist organizations like Al-Qaeda, for example,
right,
or ISIS. And yes, those are Islamic terrorist organizations. What you have with Iran is a state-run terrorist organization.
That's right.
So it's no less insidious, no less evil, because it has a flag,
right,
and an embassy somewhere, or diplomats, if that's what you want to call them. So this guy was representing evil. Keep in mind, folks, and again, this is not disputed on the left or the right, that this guy was responsible for the killing of over 600 American soldiers along the way that we can know of. That doesn't include the ones who have been maimed and injured.
That's right. And when people say that Iran is the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism, this is the guy who headed that up.
Yes.
Soleimani.
So, other presidents in the past and other foreign leaders, I don't know about the Israelis, but I've heard the Israelis, maybe the Brits, have had this guy in their sights.
Yes.
And President Obama and President Bush have had this guy in their sights. I mean, while they were commander-in-chief. And they've chosen not to kill him.
Yeah.
They chose not to kill him. And the reason they chose not to kill him was because they were, these former presidents, is because they were worried that it might lead to an escalation of tensions between Iran and the United States that may lead to some kind of a war. I don't know what, there are different levels of war, okay? So that would have been the reasons why Obama or Bush would have taken this guy out. Is that a fair? analysis?
I think so. I think it also goes to the way that President Obama conducted foreign policy with
Iran. He believed in appeasement.
With Iran, he did.
To Iran. Yes.
He did a lot of drone strikes in Pakistan, for example. But
He believed... President Obama believed you could reason with the Iranians.
Yes.
Right? Right? That's why... And, of course, to his shame, to President Obama's shame, he's the one that sent...
Over $100 million.
It was more than that.
Over $100 million in cash.
But it was $1.2 billion in total that was unfrozen.
Yes.
Yeah, and sent to Iran.
Right.
Yes.
And this was, by the way, this. Some people say, well, it was money that belonged to Iran. No, this was money that was owed to the previous, to the Shah's government, who was overthrown by the radicals in the Iranian Revolution. And Jimmy Carter, President Jimmy Carter at that point said, fine, we're freezing the assets, the money that the U.S. was going to send. And that has been frozen all this time. It doesn't belong to the mullahs, the religious leaders of Iran. It belonged to the previous administration. President Obama said, we'll give it to you. We'll give it back to you. We'll unfreeze it, and we'll send over $100 million.
So you have death. You have death to America,
right.
Country, and the great Satan, and this is by the mullahs, not necessarily all the people of Iran, but this is a terrorist state, and President Obama chose to try to strike a deal with them and gave them billions of dollars. Is that fair? I mean, he did. That's what Obama did.
Yes.
And
money that was then probably used against to kill U.S. soldiers.
Why wouldn't it be? So that is who we're talking about. That is the history of this guy, and that is the history of other presidents. Bush chose not to take him out. Obama chose not to take him out for the reasons Ed said. Now, so the setting now is Mar-a-Lago. Last week, the President of the United States is there on his Christmas, New Year's break, as all presidents do. They take a break during that time of year. And but the work goes on, right? So the president is President Trump is, I guess, notified by our top military commanders, and has to go. The president goes to a meeting. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly how this went down, but I've got the place right, Mar-a-Lago in Florida, And the President of the United States, Trump, is faced with the decision, Mr. President, do you want us to kill this guy or not? Because we'll have this one
opportunity. We know where he is.
We know where he is. We'll have this short window of opportunity, maybe a few minutes, mm-hmm. that we can take him out, yes or no, mm-hmm. sir. Isn't that what President Obama was faced with?
Mm-hmm. President Trump, yes.
Excuse me. Pardon me. President Obama was probably faced with that too, but he said no. Don't kill him. But President Obama said yes.
President Trump said yes.
What do you think about that, Fred?
Well, I think he took the opportunity. You see, what the difference with this president is, these other presidents talked about the danger of these guys and talked about the danger of Iran. Trump said, well, let's do something about it. Let's stop talking about it. Let's do something about it. As Ed has pointed out, this guy orchestrated the attack on the embassy in Baghdad last week. That's what it was. It was a protest, but it was an attack. And this guy worked with Hezbollah. This guy hates Israel. He hates the United States.
He plots the death of Americans. That's what he does. And of Israelis and of other Westerners.
Yes. And so President Trump.
And Sunnis.
Being President Trump said, let's stop talking about this and let's do something. And yes, there will likely be repercussions for it, but even if we don't do anything, Iran is still going to hate us.
Yeah, right. They're going to hate us anymore now.
Exactly.
It's death to America all day long, 24/7 in that country.
For the mullahs.
For the mullahs. How do you hate America more than that?
Yes.
Yeah, this has been going on since, as somebody said, we've been at war with Iran since 1979.
Yeah.
Since the Khomeini Revolution over there.
And I'm sure part of the discussion last week leading up to taking out this bad guy was, okay, what do you think the repercussions are going to be here in the United States? Well, the president knew what the repercussions were going to be here politically. The Democrats were going to second-guess him, were going to condemn him all over the place. To that point, I want you to have a listen. Democrat presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg was on with Jake Tapper on CNN's State of the Union over the weekend. who asked Buttigieg if he's willing to give the president credit for the attack on Soleimani. Buttigieg says, no, but I would have done the same thing. Now, I want you to really listen to the, what I would call it, being a hockey fan, the stick handling of Buttigieg.
Good, that's he's good
gonna,
reference.
He's gonna criticize the president just for the sake of criticizing the president. Oh, but by the way, I would have done the same thing. Cut number six.
You called Qassem Soleimani, the Iranian general who was killed, you called him a threat to the safety and security of the United States. So are you saying that President Trump deserves some credit for the strike?
No, not until we know whether this was a good decision and how this decision was made. And the president has failed to demonstrate that. Now, let's be clear. Qassem Soleimani was a bad figure. He has American blood on his hands. None of us should shed a tear for his death. But just because he deserved it doesn't mean it was the right strategic move.
If you were commander-in-chief and had a chairman of the Joint Chiefs who was bringing you information like that, do you think you would have ordered the strike?
I would never hesitate to use force if it was necessary in order to protect American lives. This is not checkers. And I'm not sure any of us really believe that this president and the people around him is really going through all of the consequences of what could happen next.
That was the stupidest thing I've heard in the year 2020.
Right. And the year is still young.
The year is still young. What did he say? What he said was, the right thing was done here, but the wrong person did it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to give him credit. Right. I'm not going to give him credit even if he deserves it because I have Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah. That's a perfect way of putting it. The right thing was done here, but the wrong person did it. And that to me, congrats to you, 6 days in, is a perfect label to put on everything Democrats think and do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anything good happens, it's the right thing to do. We're glad the economy's doing well, but it's the wrong person doing it. So we're going to, that's what we're going to say.
Yeah. You want this guy? This guy's president? How's he doing in the polls on the Democrat side? I'm talking about Mayor Pete.
Well, he's been doing better.
He has a striking resemblance to the guy on the front cover of Mad Magazine. What was his name? Newman?
Yeah, Newman. What was it?
Alfred?
Alfred E. Newman.
Alfred E. Newman. Everybody from the 60s and 70s knows what I'm talking about, minus the freckles. But anyway, go ahead.
He's in the top three right now in most of the polls.
Polling well in Iowa.
Yes.
But you know what? The thing is, that point as well that he was making, we don't know what the consequences are going to be. You never do.
No,
but never do.
That doesn't mean that to me. That has no bearing on whether it was the right decision to make or not. Yet, like you said, you never do. What he's saying is, if you can make any logic out of what he's saying, is that yes, it was the morally right thing to do, but we're just going to have to wait and see whether the president should be commended. It's kind of like a Monday morning quarterback situation here. So the president of the United States has to make a call in a moment to do what he did. And now Buttigieg is saying, well, let's just wait and see how this thing plays out. Not that he would ever give President Trump credit, but whether I give him credit or not. Well, what kind of an answer is that?
Well, how about the follow-up question should have been, well, how long would you have to wait before you'd say, okay, the consequences weren't that bad, I'm going to applaud the president.
Yeah.
He will never applaud the president.
And he also says something about, president hasn't explained his strategy to us yet. Now play this answer again. This is the guy who's at the top of the, not the very top, but he's
top three.
He's top three in the Democrats. Listen to this answer.
You called Qassem Soleimani, the Iranian general who was killed, you called him a threat to the safety and security of the United States. So are you saying that President Trump deserves some credit for the strike?
No, not until we know whether this was a good decision and how this decision was made. And the president has failed to demonstrate that. Now, let's be
clear. Right there. Let's be clear, because I've just been as confusing as anything. All politicians follow a confusing statement by let's be clear, right?
Yes, that's right.
Nobody knows what the man means right there.
And that's why it's being called Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah.
It's not rational.
All right.
It's not rational. Newt Gingrich was responded to questions.
Pretty rational guy right here, I think. Yeah, we're Newt probably going to get some good stuff. Okay.
Is that, you know, it was asked this morning on Fox and Friends why Democrats' first instinct is to dump on Trump. Cut number three.
The fact that you have a bunch of Democrats whose first instinct, their immediate instinct, is whatever Trump has done is wrong. Why can't Democrats just admit this was a bad person? He'd killed at least 700 Americans, badly wounded thousands. He was actively engaged in trying to drive America out of the Middle East. He should have been killed. It was an act of war because he's been waging war on us. And I think where Trump's so different from Obama is that when you wage war on Trump, he's going to wage war back. And he's bigger mm-hmm. than you are and has a bigger mm-hmm. military than you do.
Yeah.
That's it.
Good point.
What is Iran? Now, Iran can engage in what's called asymmetrical warfare, more terrorism, but that's what they've been doing all along.
Right.
And the fact that they have not been doing it up to now only means to me that they were waiting for their moment to strike something big mm-hmm. or, you know, with larger numbers. They've been scheming this whole time as a state sponsor of terrorism. Now the Democrats are saying, well, they might start doing terrorism. Well, they've been doing it all along. The only reason they've been waiting is because they didn't want to get their nose bloodied, and Trump has bloodied them.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Fred Jackson. We thank you for listening to American Family Radio. We're talking about the strike that killed the general in Iran.
Qasem Soleimani.
And President Trump's call to do that, by call, I mean not a phone call, but a decision that he had to make, and he made it. Take this guy out, and
he's also, by the way, with all the people in Iran, say, yeah, we're going to get even. He said, "Listen, I got a list of 52 targets. You want to go a little deeper with this?" He said, "We can hit other things too."
Yeah, President Trump's in a very strong position here. What you have here too, but you have other politicians. I don't know how many Republicans are doing this, but. Now, I will give Boris Johnson, is that his name?
Yes,
from
the British leader.
From the UK. Mm-hmm. He said he commended, he said that this he's not going to cry over this guy's death. Kind of like what Buttigieg said there. But he said, anyway, it was sort of a 75% endorsement of what President Trump did right there. But what the president did was... He put the world on notice, really, that America, we're not going to tolerate the killing of our people and let the guy who's responsible for it get by with it.
That's right.
If you know, but what I wanted to say was another aspect of this is, and you have to keep this in mind when you're talking about the Middle East, you have the Shia Muslims and you have the Sunni Muslims. The Shia are in Iraq and almost
Iran and
Iran,
two-thirds of Iraq, roughly.
So what this guy was doing, all remember all the time, energy, and money and blood, sweat, and tears we put into Iraq? Well, this guy that we killed, he was trying to overtake Iraq with Iranian influence.
Right.
Okay, and just basically destroy everything that we had helped, whether you believed in the Iraqi war or not, all of the things that we've done to try to make Iraq a stable place and to give their people a chance for a decent life and freedom.
Right.
The reason he was in Iraq, this guy, at the airport, is he's free to move around because he was building an Iranian, basically, military outpost.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely accurate.
And so that was another aspect of this. I haven't heard Putin respond on this or any other foreign leaders talk
that
about
Putin,
this.
Though, he's a Russian asset.
You think? All right, we'll be back in a moment with more of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
We appreciate hearing from you. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net.
I pastor a small church, so I have to have a full-time job on the side. When I try to feed the flock, y'all feed me, and I thank God for y'all.
If you want to watch the show live, you can go to Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues, and you can also access the stories that we talk about.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Our spiritual heritage tours are coming up in 2020 in June and September. I'm just going to go through the days here and what we see. On Wednesday, we go out to dinner at Old Town Alexandria, and we go to the World War II Memorial. On Thursday, we go to the Capitol, the Library of Congress, the Supreme Court, the Lincoln Memorial, and the Korean and Vietnam Memorials. On Friday, we go to the Iwo Jima Memorial, Arlington National Cemetery, the White House, Jefferson Memorial, National Archives, and on Saturday, we go to Mount Vernon. Okay, so there you go. I got it all in. You can go and read about all this at our website, spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. That's our Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon tour in June, and then another one in September. And then we also go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate trip. So go to the website, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and folks, Liberty University believes a private Christian education should be affordable to everyone. That's great, right? It doesn't matter if you're from California or Maine or anywhere in between, you may qualify for up to $20,780 over 4 years through Liberty's Middle America Scholarship. For more information, text MAS to the number 839-858 today. Again, that's MAS to the number 839-858. There is no doubt Iranian General Qassem Soleimani was an evil man. He killed hundreds of U.S. troops and thousands of Iranians and Iraqis. He was a monster. And the world is a much safer place today now that Soleimani is gone, blown up by a U.S. missile strike near the Baghdad airport. The Defense Department says the general was actively planning new attacks against Americans and American interests in the Middle East. President Trump should be commended for taking bold and decisive action. Instead, Democrats in the mainstream media are sympathizing with General Soleimani and attacking the president. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar condemned the president's decision, as did Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib. Meanwhile, Iranians and Iraqis are celebrating in the streets. However, Democrats and the mainstream media seem to be conflicted. The day of choosing has come for the mainstream media and the Democrats. Do you stand with America or do you stand with the enemy? I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Well, now maybe we can get back with this new year and back to routine, some normality. We can have people quit pushing cake and pie in our face all day, every day.
Bags of chips,
bags
too.
Bags of chips and dip and, cheese balls.
Oh, listen, it was awful here at the office. Between Thanksgiving right. and New Year's.
Yes.
There was so
our
much
fellow
food.
Employees
yes.
here just put it all out there.
And this is a healthy you environment,
it
supposed
is.
To be, but it was huh? not for those 6 weeks.
We would be talking about how to live healthier, and then they put spice cake out here.
Yes, that's right.
And
velvet cake and cheese balls.
And expect you to walk by it.
Bowls know? Of candy. Good
yes.
grief.
Yeah. So,
it was terrible.
Anyway, maybe we can get away from that now.
Bless you.
Pardon me. A little live sneeze there on radio. My apologies. I hope you didn't hear that. They would have heard that on your microphones, but not mine. I hit the kill button here, which is what Obama did, which is what President Trump did.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. How do you like that, ladies and gentlemen? Okay, so President Trump now, I believe, fellas, that he is in probably the strongest. I haven't seen any polls on this. This is my own intuition. He's probably in the strongest position he's been in with the American voters as he has been since he got elected, because the economy is very strong, mm-hmm. and he is protecting American lives. I think that's how the majority of Americans see him. That's probably 52-53%. I don't know, 55 maybe. But you got 40-45% who hate his guts.
Yeah.
And nothing he does. You know.
Just like,
well, maybe it isn't that high. What do you think? 40%, 35?
Oh, I don't know. I would say probably 35% just hate him. Just no matter what, like Mayor Pete Buttigieg was saying, no matter what he does, I hate it.
Well, don't forget that this 35%, that's what you want to call them, of people in America who hate President Trump. Bill Maher, remember the political commentator / comedian? Remember a couple of years ago, he sort of laid out his desire, and I think this is reflective of a lot of these folks on the far left, his desire that the American economy would collapse.
Right.
Between then and November 2020, so that President Trump would lose.
Yes.
So these people hate President Trump so much, they would hope that the American economy would collapse.
Right.
Maybe it's easier to say that when you have millions and millions of dollars like Bill Maher.
Right.
Okay. But this Trump derangement syndrome, this is represented in, as he took out this general in Iran while the guy was in Iraq. I'm sorry, I have a hard time with these Middle Eastern names. So if I
Soleimani.
They don't want to give any credit to President Trump for doing this. So they want to wait and see. The left wants to wait and see if some bad things will happen to Americans now that this has been done. And then they're going to say, see there, Trump caused this.
Yes.
That's what they're... I'm hesitant to say this, but they hope. It seems like they're hoping for this.
Well,
they
would be able to say President Trump has blood on his hands, just like they do. Not all of them. I want to make sure that's clear. But you have some, especially a lot of these Hollywood loony lefties, who say every time there's a shooting somewhere, Republicans, the NRA, President Trump, they have blood on their hands. They caused this.
Okay.
They're going to
say the same thing.
Right.
They're just waiting for something bad to happen. An embassy gets bombed today in Angola. I'm just using a scenario here. And then they're going to say, see, this is what a warmonger, this is what happens when a warmonger like Trump is in the White House.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And I keep saying this and underline it. The Democrats know they can say all of these things because they have such good friends in the media who will not question it and hold their feet to the fire. Like Tapper there at CNN is not going to hold Buttigieg's feet to the fire.
Right. He knew exactly. He heard what we heard.
Yep.
That was crazy. Tapper should have said, Mayor, that is not an answer. And if it is an answer, it's doublespeak. So you're going to have to be... Don't say to be clear after you confused us all, and he should have come back with that. But the Democrats and the mainstream news media are in cahoots.
Oh,
ideologically and other ways.
Yes.
Now, what about? I was in a meeting this morning. Evan and I were in a meeting this morning. We were talking about is Nancy Pelosi going to go after President Trump for this strike?
She sure is. She announced last night to the Democrats that she wants to pass a resolution in the House, a war powers resolution in the House.
To limit the president's military actions regarding Iran.
That's right. I'm quoting her. It reasserts Congress's long-established oversight responsibilities by mandating that if no further congressional action is taken, the administration, she talked about Trump, military hostilities with regard to Iran cease within 30 days.
Well, that is just political posturing because not only can the House do nothing but pass a resolution, Senate's not going to pass that. Mm-hmm. It's law. The War Powers Act was passed in 1973 to try to prevent presidents from using the military without congressional approval. I happen to believe that if you're going to go to war with a country, you should declare, Congress should declare war. I believe that's the way the founders intended. But because the world moves at such speed now, I mean, we're not talking about sending, you know, a bunch of warships from, you know, 1800 America across to, you know, Libya, which happened under, I think, under Jefferson's presidency. Things have to happen right away. All presidents, including President Obama, mm-hmm. have the legal constitutional authority mm-hmm. to conduct military operations without congressional approval.
That's right.
So all presidents have done that. This is meaningless. This is just her posturing, mm-hmm. you know. And
this is more Trump derangement syndrome. We hate Nancy Pelosi saying with this action again, once again, we can't hate Trump anymore, but we're going to try.
Yes,
right.
So we're going to try to handcuff him on what he can do mm-hmm. now with Iraq, right? I mean, because he might escalate us into war,
right?
And a war that's not been which he doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is, you know, President Obama conducted thousands of airstrikes. You know,
he regime changed. President yes. Obama and Hillary Clinton, when she was Secretary of State, said, "We're taking Muammar Gaddafi out. We are going to reshape Libya. We're going to bring regime change to that country." Right. Uh-huh. And so that's what they did.
Nancy Pelosi, to her credit, went to Congress and said, "We're going to restrict President Obama's authority to do this." No, she didn't do that.
No, she didn't do that.
But the U.S. conducted airstrikes against. There. I was being facetious. Yeah. Syria, remember, with ISIS, mm-hmm. conducted thousands of airstrikes because the president is the commander in chief. He has the authority to direct military action. Now, declaring a war is a separate issue, yes. in my opinion. But
the president, whoever he may be, faces the American people on his decisions.
Right.
So there are consequences to be paid for poor decisions.
Right.
This isn't willy-nilly, or you get a free pass. Okay, so what I'm saying is, whoever the president is, he is also the commander-in-chief of the United States military constitutionally.
Right.
And, yes, I agree with you. Should we go to war with invasion like we did in Iraq, for example?
Right.
Did we ever declare war? I don't even know.
I don't think.
We haven't done that previous to Vietnam.
I think, yeah, since Vietnam, I don't think we have.
And I think that's been a mistake, actually.
Yeah.
But in these kinds of situations, what you're talking about and maybe it gets a little murky on how many troops constitute a war, but certainly we're not in a war in a traditional sense in Iraq. This is Nancy Pelosi trying to say we want to handcuff Donald Trump. Yes. She didn't want to handcuff Barack Obama.
Right.
No.
In his role as commander-in-chief. This is the impeachment thing is another issue that's going to die. It's already died in the minds of the American people, I think. I don't know what the Democrats have a B actor list of candidates that they're trying to put forth on it's just not anything going good for them right now.
No, but on the impeachment front, you mentioned this. Lindsey Graham, who chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee,
mm-hmm.
He's had enough with Nancy Pelosi's posturing. Remember now, she was refusing to send the articles of impeachment up to the Senate.
How long has she waited now?
Well, and remember,
because the president was supposedly an imminent threat to the Constitution
right.
of America.
That's right.
Right. Must be dealt with now.
Yes.
And they rammed through that inquiry.
Right.
With Adam Schiff. We have to get this done right away because he's an imminent threat.
Did he ever blink, by the way? Adam Schiff. I've never seen the guy blink. Have you?
No, I have to honestly say I have never seen him blink.
I've never seen him blink. He ought to be in a fair somewhere.
But here we are.
Step right up.
Step right up. The man who's never blinked.
Never blinked. Six days into 2020, she still hasn't sent the articles of impeachment. So Senator Lindsey Graham, chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
The new rock star of the right.
Sounds to me.
Lindsey Graham.
Sounds to me like he has had enough And he's putting an ultimatum out there. You send the articles of impeachment over, or just maybe we're going to do it on our own over here at the Senate. Have a listen to this. Cut number two.
We're not going to let Nancy Pelosi use the rules of the Senate to her advantage. This is dangerous for the presidency as an institution. They've impeached the president, but the Speaker of the House is holding the articles back, trying to extort from the majority leader of the Senate a trial to her liking. They're trying to hold these articles over the head of the president. I think the reason they're not sending them is because they're so weak and it's a pathetic case and they're looking to add something. So the sooner this trial is over, the better for the American people. And so what I would do if she continues to refuse to send the articles as required by the Constitution, I would work with Senator McConnell to change the rules of the Senate so we could start the trial without her if necessary.
Yeah, he's talking about taking the 600-page report coming out of the House Judiciary Committee under Adam Schiff. We're going to look at the 600 pages, see what you came up with over there at the House, and then that'll be our inquiry, and then we will take a vote on whether we want to send it to a trial.
Can Senate Majority Leader McConnell do this, Fred or Ed, do you know? Can he say, listen, Speaker Pelosi, I'm going to give you one more week to send these articles of impeachment over. And if you don't, then they're dead on arrival if they get here post that date. Can he say something like that, or is that not?
Kind of like an expiration date? To your question, I think this is all about the rules of the House and the Senate. The Constitution does not lay out the official process for the impeachment and the trial of the president. So I don't know what, you know, would Nancy Pelosi, would the House then get a judge involved? I don't know how that would work, but I don't think there's anything wrong with Mitch McConnell saying we're going to vote, that they might have to vote on it.
Yeah, that's what Graham is saying.
Yeah.
Graham is saying, I want the Senate to vote.
That's what he's saying, what I suggested.
He said, I want to vote on changing the rules in the Senate. I'm going to change the rules in the Senate because this hasn't happened before.
Right.
This hasn't happened, this little game that Nancy Pelosi's playing here. Well, I think I want to hold on to the articles of impeachment until you guys agree with me on how that trial is going to be done.
So if they say we're putting an expiration date on it, if you don't send it over within, I don't know, a week or 2 weeks, then it expires and you've got to do the process over again.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that would be bad for the president. If they do that whole thing over again, I've got to think at some point the American people tell the Democrats enough is enough.
Yeah.
I agree with President. I agree with Lindsey Graham. If this impeachment had any real teeth to it, you would send it on over and right. you'd want to get this going as fast as possible. I agree with Senator Graham there. This is such a weak, pathetic case. Nancy Pelosi's trying to negotiate something, I guess, with Senator McConnell that she thinks will favor her. Well, that's what she would be doing, although I can't imagine what card she has to play with the Republicans in the Senate.
Here's what I think she wants. She wants a guarantee that they are going to be able to retry this, retry the president in a sense, do the same thing they did in the House, that sham process. They want the opportunity to blast the president before the Senate. Otherwise, they run the risk of it being dismissed fairly quickly, and then they've got no more bullets in their gun. If she can get them to promise, we can bring all of our witnesses and we can run through all this all over again, then we'll send it over.
Well, but Mitch McConnell's not going to allow for that.
No?
No.
So she's left with holding her articles, I guess, I don't know.
Well, this is what we said early on when this process was so clearly partisan and biased.
Yes.
We said what the Senate ought to do is tell Nancy Pelosi, whatever process you use in the House, we're using to favor Republicans in the Senate because this is not bipartisan.
Right.
In the House, it's not going to be bipartisan over here. And to Mitch McConnell's credit and Lindsey Graham and some of these others, that's what they're doing. They're saying, you had that sham over there, you all one-sided, guess what? Now it's coming to the Republican-controlled Senate. Yeah. We're going to be just as one-sided as you were.
And furthermore, Adam Schiff is still not blinked.
He's still not blinked.
So,
you're listening to Andy Kaufman look-alike.
You're so we we managed to work in Andy Kaufman and Alfred C. Newman.
Yes, Alfred E. Newman.
Alfred E. Newman, rather. Alfred C. was his cousin.
Yes, yeah.
Which was also a family in the family lineage of Howdy Doody.
That's not far off.
Yeah.
Alfred E. Newman.
If you follow that.
Yeah. Now you're going back to the 50s.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed and Fred, we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Should you want to send us an email, we welcome that at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. We failed to mention you can watch the show live on Facebook or YouTube. Just go to, and we also podcast. So for the podcast, go to afr.net. You can sign up right there for our podcast every day, afr.net, afr.net, and that way you can listen whenever you want to. And Facebook or YouTube, we live video stream the show. Just type in Today's Issues. We got 10 minutes left this hour. What's next?
Well, if you thought that President Trump is just kind of holed up now at the White House and he's scared about what's going to happen, no, he's out there and ready on the campaign trail, and kind of launched the campaign there officially last Friday down in Florida. He went down to Miami to a big church down there, an Hispanic church, and I'm told there were thousands at the service there on Friday in Miami. And he told the group of evangelicals there that the administration won't cave to the left-wing mob, among other things. Cut number 13.
We refuse to cave into the left-wing mob. We refuse to do it. We've gotten a lot of credit for that. We've gotten a lot of credit for that. The extreme left in America is trying to replace religion with government and replace God with socialism. That's what's happening.
Yeah. Huge crowd there, and that was his message to them. And he's very smart. This campaign, they have lots of money to do this, the Trump campaign. That's, you know,
I wonder.
The reports were coming in last week of what Sanders on the other side was made. It doesn't compare to what Donald Trump. So he's out there. He's building bridges with various Hispanic groups, with conservative black groups. And I tell you what, they're coming to his side.
I wonder. I know this is off the – off track a little bit here, which is rare for me on topics like this. But I just, a comedic thought I had was, who writes the speeches for the president? And when he gives one before a church audience, you know, that person's probably praying more than anybody. They're probably in the back room on their knees.
Yeah.
Dear Lord,
please let him stick to the script.
Please let the president stick to what I wrote for him. Just this once. He's in a church pulpit with cameras up there.
But that's not too far off track, because you know that teleprompter.
Oh, that didn't stop him.
No.
That didn't stop President Trump. But now, President Trump, while he can go off script and does often, and it usually works out to his benefit, by the way, because that's what people
– yeah.
People, what people who love President Trump love about him is that he speaks bluntly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, that can cut both ways. You know, I haven't always liked people that speak bluntly because sometimes they can be rude. But
right.
It depends on whether you like them or not, right?
Yeah.
How much you can tolerate of that. But the president, he is who he has been. There's no pretense about him, for better or for worse. And I think on balance, it works out to his advantage because he just, as you said, Ed, he talks like a New York businessman.
Right.
Pretty straight talking guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a lot of $5 words. You know, he just says what he thinks. And but he is thoughtful too. And so, but he ever president has speech writers. But the one for President Trump, can you see President Trump meeting with that person going, you know, I got to speak at the church. I got to speak at
something.
I got to speak at the church on Monday, Sunday.
What about the person?
Have I got my New York accent going?
Yeah, you started.
It's pretty bad.
You started slipping into an Italian.
First guy from Mississippi.
Guy
okay.
Off the boat.
Sort of a hybrid.
But what about the person, a guy, say, the man or the woman running the teleprompter? You can't just let it roll. You've got to stop it when he goes off script.
Right.
So he can come back.
If you got to reckon. That's an art.
If you go get a sandwich, you come back. He's The teleprompter's gone on 2 or 3 pages, but he's taking a rabbit trail.
Yeah, you can imagine Kellyanne Conway sitting beside this guy that runs the teleprompter.
Right.
The guy looks at her, and she looks at him, and yeah, stop it.
Stop
it. Stop it right there. When should I start it back again, ma'am? Who knows?
Just wait till he looks up and he keeps quiet for a second.
The expression, we'll just have to see where this goes, is used often at a Trump speech or Trump rally. You're listening to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Let me just say this in all seriousness. We need to pray for, regarding this situation with Iran, we do need to pray for the president, the vice president, Secretary of State Pompeo. Those three guys in particular are responsible for how we respond and the policies.
Yes.
Also, Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, and those. Another thing that President Trump did. So I'm serious. We need to pray for those guys today and in the coming days.
Group, I want to add the soldiers that deployed out of Fort Bragg on the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
To go back up to our soldiers who are already there, our U.S. personnel that are still in our embassy there in Baghdad. Let's remember those folks in prayer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. So the president was speaking at an evangelical church, predominantly Hispanic, in South Florida over the weekend.
Florida over the weekend, huge crowd there, and this is part of the campaign strategy is building bridges to the Hispanic community. We already know from polls that are out there, there is a movement within the African American community coming over. Those are the people, many of those folks have benefited from the great jobs situation, lowest unemployment numbers in, 50 years?
50 years.
The Hispanic unemployment rate, the lowest in decades also. So these people are living in the reality of what Trump's economic policies, what he has brought them. And they're scratching their heads, too, just like we do, about what are you complaining about, Democrats? I now have a job.
Right.
I'm now bringing a paycheck home. Or I had a job when President Trump was elected, but now I'm making a whole lot more money.
Right.
The stock market is up 10,000 points since he was elected. My 401k, I finally have a 401k, and it's really doing well. And you want me to vote against that?
For a socialist, in all likelihood.
Yeah. And you're showing me Joe Biden has an alternative. You're showing me Buttigieg has an alternative. You're showing me Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders has an alternative. I voted Democrat all my life, but I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They got nothing. The Democrats I'm talking about.
Which is why they hope for bad stuff to happen. You're talking about Bill Maher.
They got nothing good to offer.
Right.
For the American people to vote them in, right? Talking about the Democrats, at least the presidential candidates. So what you're saying is you can benefit, a political party can benefit from the failings of the other,
right?
I guess as much as they can from the good things that they can do.
Yes, that's right.
So the Democrats would hope that the economy fails, collapses, goes into recession, so that they could come into office.
And that's why some of the Democrats said, we've got to impeach President Trump because otherwise he's going to win re-election.
That's right.
Because we got nothing else. Mm-hmm. What are we going to hang our election on? Our hat?
Not the economy.
It's nothing. Can't be anything.
Not fighting international terrorism.
Right.
Wow. Okay. So we shall return. Thank you, Fred.
You are welcome.
Steve Jordahl on deck, and we'll continue our conversations about what's happening in our world.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.